continue in Paul's letter to the Colossians, before we even open up scripture, I want you to think about if a six-year-old to ask you, who is God? How would you respond to that sentence? In fact, when I was being interviewed for ordination, that was one of my questions. How would you describe God to a six-year-old Jewish boy who knocked on your front door? It sounds complicated, and yet very simple at the same time. I'm not going to answer the question for you tonight. I want you to be able to articulate who God is to you, to your neighbor, and maybe we'll learn something from Paul also. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hill, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, in the voice of a friend, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So this week, as I was prepping for the sermon, I decided to handwrite the scripture. Right? This is all about letters that were written to one another. In fact, a book that I'm reading right now for a class I'm taking next month was talking about that some of the facets of the early church in the Greco-Roman world that set them apart, there were many things, but one thing that was very different was that we were a text-driven community. And in fact, some of the early Christians used these weird things called books instead of scrolls. They were easier to transport. You could actually look things up quicker. And it took time. To rewrite some of the letters of Paul would take like 15 hours. For a person to do it. This scripture tonight didn't take that long. But there is something beautiful about the intentionality of writing a letter. My mom has the most beautiful penmanship. It is, I think it's a generational thing, but it is perfection. I love getting notes from my mom. In fact, one of the greatest gifts she gave me when I moved to college, and y'all have heard, Kim Rankin was, she was a lot. She was a lot to live with. Teenage Kim. Not very lovable. And so when I went to college, I think my parents had a party for about 6 straight weeks. But in that, she gave me a book, and it said, P.S. I love you. And it was just one of those kind of kitschy books that had P.S. I love you things from mom. But then my mom went to the next level and went throughout the book and would write notes about why it reminded me of her, of me. And I remember that first semester in college, it's just hard. I mean, it's great and exciting and hard, you know? And I remember sitting, my roommate was awful, my classes were hard, and I'm just sitting there thinking, this is what I was excited about? Like, this is hard. And I pulled out the book for my mom with sticky notes and little notes and just seeing her handwriting. And this is back before cell phones. Before really email was a thing, so I couldn't, you could only call Sunday night after 9 or something like that. And I was brought comfort and peace in a very stale, cold, lonely place. This is what I love about Scripture. As I was reading this letter this week, it's still bringing us messages that, frankly, I needed to hear. I'm going to assume at least one of you in this room may also need to hear it. So we're going to go on in the letter this week, and we're going to start in verse 15. And it's talking about Christ being supreme. Who is God? Hear now the scripture. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. The image of God. Creator, sustainer. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have the first place in everything. For in him all fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself of all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. So here we are in verse 15. Christ, the image of God. We move on. Creator, sustainer. Names that God is the head of the church and reconciles all things for us through the cross. We've talked about this before, but you know, the cross used to be a symbol of death. We have a cross here above us. I wear a cross around my neck. I have a cross on my ring finger. This is actually the ring I got when I was confirmed in the church as a teenager. I love this ring. It's kind of scratched up, and it's a little flat on one side. But in that life, right? And this cross reminds me of the goodness of God. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, it's there with me, reminding me of who God is. So would you say to a six-year-old, God is everything? Feels a little much and a little hard to understand. I love a website called The Bible Project. If you've never looked at it, spend some time this week. Google Bible Project. They have tons of resources. And I was looking up this scripture on their website this week, and it said this. There is no part of humanity that remains untouched by the loving, liberating rule of the risen Jesus. We are invited into that here and now. This scripture was written for you. It was also written for people 2,000 years ago who were actually dealing with who God is. Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? Yet in this, it is quite simple. Christ is the image of God, right? Of things both seen and unseen. Creator, sustainer. In fact, that is a nod to John 1. John 1 and John 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Y'all know we have family rules, and number one is make good choices. And number two is remember whose you are. Handwritten notes. I went to Cody's house this past summer, and he's had a whiteboard from his room in high school that he's moved to two dorm rooms and now to his house. And I remember when I dropped him off, Dan and I dropped him off at his dorm room. That was rough. He was fine. I was not. And I wrote on his little whiteboard, make good choices, and remember whose you are. And as I walk into his bedroom of his house in College Station, first of all, the bed's made. There's not 18 cups in there. Like, it's this beautiful bedroom that I'm like, why is it not like this in my house? But it's okay. And I look at the whiteboard, and guess what's still there 3 years later? Make good choices and remember whose you are. You see, this letter reminds us to put God in the center. Because the family rule of make good choices, that's throwing it out there. Like, do the right thing. Please. The more important rule is remember that you are a child of God. And in that, you should put God at the center of everything you do. For when you do that, church doesn't become a 60-minute affair once a week. Church becomes a rhythm. It's not church. It's faith. It's breath. It's life. Because God is in all things, through all things, and the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives. We went through my mother-in-law's house this past year after she passed away, cleaning it out and getting it ready to sell and that kind of stuff. And both my boys got a watch from their grandfather. You know, it ticks and talks and doesn't ding, okay? Neither one of them were working. And so one of the boys said, well, I'll just Google it and we'll figure out how to fix it. I said, you know, there's certain things that you can Google. You don't even know how a watch works. Let's take the watch to a watchmaker, fixer, repair shop in the mall, and let them do what they know to do. Because what I like to do is fix things myself too, but sometimes that creates what? Chaos, disorder, breaking it even worse. We're like a broken watch sometimes, aren't we? We tick. We talk. Sometimes we might need to get a little adjusted. A little surgery here, a little doctor there. But who is our sustainer? Who's our ultimate healer? Who brings us back to the center of all that we do and makes things right? I can't change your heart. I can't change the rhythm of your life. That is only God's to do. Who is God? Is it the stars in the sky? Yes. Is it your friend that calls when you need it the most? Yes. Is it the man who was the most humble servant on this earth? Yes. It is both so simple and so complex that God is all things. And in our lives, we try to create order and symbols, and all we really have to do is answer the question of who God is by this letter written thousands of years ago. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Right there, he is God. He was there at the beginning. He knows all things. For in him, all things in heaven and earth were created, visible and invisible. He himself is before all things, and he holds everything together. That's what our faith can do for us throughout the week. It's that weave that holds everything together with God's goodness and truth and love. Who is God? Now here's the real stinger. If you're writing a letter this week, and you want to put an order to where God is in your life, where's God on Tuesday? Where's God on Saturday morning, the one day I sleep in during the week? 8:30 this week, it was delightful. God to me is in my morning coffee, where it's the only time of the day where it's just quiet. God is in the room next to me when I'm praying with a family going through a difficult situation. God is on the other side of the phone when Cody calls on his drive to HEB just to say hi. God is in tears of disappointment and fear. God is in the joy of a roly-poly on a summer day. Isn't it amazing to think what God is? Because in this scripture, there is nothing that can separate us from God. There is nothing that is not God. Yet we seem so fearful of it at times. But God gave everything for us. Everything. His only son died on a cross for our brokenness, the ultimate healer. And what's so great about this is a gift given to you today. And all you have to do is figure out what you're going to do with it. How are you going to share this love and light with others? Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace what God can be in your life. Scripture is the breath of God. This is the only book I've read my whole life. I'm an avid reader. In fact, right now, I made the decision, you know, to go and get my doctorate of ministry, so I'm a very avid reader. Yet these words that were handwritten for hours and hours and passed along in a time where humanity didn't see humans as valuable. God changed things. God changed hearts and cultures and minds. For that's who we're called to be. From the very beginning, what set us apart was that we had one God, and that we took care of one another. I challenge you this week to write two handwritten notes. Might throw in a P.S. I love you, just for my mom. Write to somebody that you wouldn't. Like, sorry, Mom, I'm not going to write it to you. I'm going to write it to somebody maybe on staff that I don't talk to enough. And they might go unseen. Maybe I'll write it to one of my college friends that I haven't talked to in a long time for no reason, but I miss them. And I'm going to remind them that they're loved. Who is God, and how is God active in your life? Not just on Saturday night, not just on Sunday morning, but each and every tick-tock of the day. Is God at the center? And when you need an adjustment, who do you go to? Go to your faith. You go to your scripture. You go to your church community to reset, recenter, so you can move forward confident in the cross, confident in your faith in God the Father Almighty. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for you, for the fact that you are in everything. You are the Word that's become flesh. You breathed breath into us. At times where you might feel distant, let us take a deep breath and be reminded that breath is yours. Let us go about this week challenged, compelled, loved, reconciled through you, through your words, through your lessons, through your actions. Guide us, lead us, connect us so that your church and continue to grow. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.